Hello and welcome to another weekly podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church in Mankato, Minnesota. If you're in the Mankato area, join us every Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. If you'd like to learn more, visit us at mankatohilltop.org. Best of all,
God is with us!
Well, today we are going to pick up part two in our sermon series. That's why it says Conservation Sunday, part two. And I want to recap just a little bit for where what we talked about last week, and then we'll jump into the next part. But I want to show you these three bins up here because these are an important part of how we as a church are trying to take conservation seriously. And I remember, if you were here last week, I talked about this. When I grew up, we had this. And I remember when this was the new thing, and recycling bins started showing up. So we all know that this is garbage. This is where we place most of our refuse. Until recycling came along, reduce, reuse, recycle. And then there are certain items that became recyclable that we could turn into other products, plastic, glass, tin, some paper products. Now we have a new thing. This thing, compost, which is basically organic matter that can be turned into dirt. But the cool thing about compost is lots of other things are also compostable. So in here, we can put almost all of our food. When we have a Wednesday night meal here at church, we can put our food in the compost. And we also have switched over a lot of our paper products into compostable products. And for a long time, when compost was a brand new thing, these things were twice as expensive. So most people didn't do it. It was basic economics. They're like, I can't. Now the price is comparable. And so we use compostable paper products, cups, plates. We're switching over a lot of our other cups and silverware, our plastic silverware, all of that to be compostable. Why would we do that? We want to be the best steward we can be of God's creation. So all of our cups, you're drinking some coffee in them right now, they can go in the compost. That saves it from the landfill, and it also saves it from recycling, having to reduce and reuse it. It actually turns it into something beautiful, organic dirt that can be put in the garden. All right, so let me get over to the scripture reading and things like that here for one second. Again, just want to say welcome. If this is your very first time, we'd love to connect with you. We have those little connect cards. They're right in front of the pew. You can scan it with your phone. Or if you don't do digital, just pull it out. On the backside is a spot to fill that out. We'll receive those later in the service. Last week when we were doing this, we looked at Genesis chapter 2, which is the second creation story. So part one looked at the second creation story. Part two is going to look at the first creation story. The first creation story is Genesis 1. You might be familiar with that one because it's God creating the world each day. There's a day of creation and there's a thing that happens for 7 days. On the first day, God created light. And then on the second day, God created this. And on the third day, God created that. That's the first creation story. Last week, we talked about the second creation story. That's where there's this man and the woman, the fig leaves and the garden, stuff like that. In that story, God scoops up the dirt of the earth, blows onto that dirt, and it becomes what? Human beings. Now, in this story, look at the difference between the two. What are human beings made of? What we're going to do is we're going to look at the sixth day and the seventh day of creation from the first story. Here we go, Genesis chapter 1, beginning of the Bible. Starting in verse 24, this is the sixth day of creation. There's already been 5 days. Here we go, sixth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and of the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished in all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of Holy Scripture. I said last week that we were going to talk about something ultra-conservative, conservation. And I need to remind you that what we're going to talk about today is not like one political party or another, although it often gets portrayed that way in social media and in the news and other things, right? I actually kind of think conservation, taking care of our natural world, does seem like a conservative position. But I'm not talking about it in sort of like the political fashion, because these debates become politicized very quickly. But as Christians, as we read the Bible, now we need to understand, okay, what does God say for us? How do we care for this natural world? As Christians, how do we follow this? And that's why we've been doing some of the work we've been doing, and why I did a little bit of an explainer about last week, and why the garbage recycling and compost are up here, because one of the ways that we want to follow this commandment and this way of living is because God mentions it in the Bible. He says, this is important for you. And so we want to take that to heart. Now, I'm not sure what your baseline experience of the world is, but for most people, we have a baseline experience that centers on you. I mean, think about it. Everything you do involves you. Wherever you go, there you are. And so all of our experiences are automatically filtered through you, your experience. What life is like to you. Now, that can be a very narrow focus. If you go throughout your whole life and all you think about is you, you're missing like 8 billion people, aren't you? You're missing the great human experience of what it's like to know other people, to be in relationship with other people. Now, some might argue that we are becoming more baseline, individually focused as a country, as a people, as a world, as a society. Not everything in the world works like that. But when you grow up in Mankato or in this area, that becomes our experience. Part of the reason that we have these creation accounts in the Bible is God is trying to help us think beyond that experience. Beyond just me, myself, and I. And so we hear this grand scope of how the cosmos is becoming. We hear this grand scope about a people and how these people are becoming. And while we might get involved in like the factual details, was it 7 literal 24-hour days? How old is the earth? We're getting into scientific thoughts. God's trying to say, there's a whole bigger perspective here. Can you see it? There's a whole bigger world here beyond the edge of your nose. Can you see it? I was thinking about this recently. I read a very wonderful book. It's called Dominion by Tom Holland. He's a historian. It's basically the theory and the thought of the Western world, how Christianity has influenced the Western world. If you took Western Civ, you know what I'm talking about. I would bet most of us here today would say, we believe in equality, that there's something about people that we need to work toward equality. Now, we kind of quibble with that sometimes. Maybe some people are more equal than others. But where does that come from? How do we just automatically think, oh, we should all be equal? I would argue that much of that comes from Christianity, the scripture I just read in a moment, the teachings of Jesus, which are based on the scripture we just read, because that changes the whole world. Here's the thing. You didn't wake up this morning and say, ah, those serfs, they deserve it. But for a lot of people throughout human history, that is how they woke up. If they were in their castle or they were in their kingdom, God ordained me to be the king. I'm more important than you. Who's to say otherwise? Actually, God, his son Jesus, say otherwise. And the fact that we have been influenced by the teachings of Christianity for over 2,000 years means that we now have started to take on some of those things. We started to say, yeah, there is something that we see about how we are created equal, created in the image of God. That changes my perspective. But there are lots of places in the world, my friend, lots of places where that's not true. They're from that other tribe. You better go get them. They don't deserve to live. And now we kind of see how this plays out in our own world, right? That's our base instinct right there. That's our base instinct. You vote for that guy? Pfft, write you off. You're not even worth the air to breathe. That's our base instinct. It's based on me, my perspective, how I see the world. So part of the reason we have this story in Genesis, part of the reason that God is writing this is trying to help us get outside of that perspective. Can you see a bigger world here? Can you see that there is much more happening beyond the end of your nose? In fact, there's an equality among people, an equality among the sexes, men and women, that is God ordained. In Genesis 1, in the very first chapter of the Bible, God creates humankind in his image. God creates them, male and female, in God's image. A lot of the equality that we take for granted comes right from Genesis. And then, of course, Jesus picks up on this. And he shares this all throughout the New Testament. And then the Apostle Paul grabs it and he says, yeah, male and female and slave and free and Jew and Greek and all of these other categories. We are the inheritors of this 2,000-year generation of teaching. So when we wake up in the morning, we say, we tend to, if we're from the Western world, all people are created equal. And yeah, we haven't gotten that right. We have sins in our past in this country. There are sins in our past as Christians. But those are the outliers because really we're created in the image of God. Male and female created in the image of God. When Jesus said, you are to love everybody, including your enemies, there's a radical equality in that. Where did that come from? Genesis 1. We take this scripture for granted so often, and right now it feels like we're slipping from that. We're slipping from that when we start to demonize someone else. Because the first thing we should think of when we see someone else, different than us, different culture, different beliefs, the first thing we should think of is, they're created in the image of God, aren't they? Now that changes my perspective about them. Oh, but I really want to tell them how wrong they are. So what part of the part of the thing of this scripture today that I really want to just hone in on is how we just take this for granted and how we shouldn't take it for granted. How we need to hold on to this even more today. So that as we leave here, as we go somewhere else, as we interact with other people in the world, they see things differently. They have a different experience, maybe a way different experience than mine. They raise their kids differently. They've been divorced. They grew up in another country. They speak a different language. And the first thing for me as a Christian who's following the Bible is they are made in the image of God. Jesus Christ went to the cross for them. That now shifts how I think about it. It opens my thinking and expands my world. Sustainability and environmentalism is also another very important way to think a broader perspective on the world. Most of the time, all we think of is that meal and that thing that I ate, and it goes in the trash for me. But as we talked about a little bit last week and hear this perspective in Genesis is, actually, when we throw that away, that has a whole implication for a whole nother people. Now, I don't have to think about that if I don't want to. Lucky me. I live in America in the 21st century. I can just put my garbage on the curb and they take it away. But that's not true for everybody. Maybe I should be thinking about that. How does that impact other people? Do you see how it can become so individualistic? Just me and my thinking and who I am and what I believe and all that I want, rather than the implications of what that might mean for the world that is for my grandkids or the people that sort recycling in a third world country or all those things. Maybe I need to take that into perspective a little bit. So much of sustainability and environmentalism has become so personalized that people have the ability, if you're at the top of the food chain, to not think about it in a way that if you're at the bottom of the food chain. But as Christians, as we read Genesis 1, as God is trying to expand our mind, to open it up just beyond the end of our nose, to see a broader perspective and a broader group of people, maybe we do need to look just beyond where we are and how this might impact others. See, it's a way of seeing the whole world as sacred. To see the whole world as sacred then changes everything, doesn't it? The slums in Mumbai are just as sacred as the beautiful nature trail right here in Mankato. I don't know if we see it that way, but here's what God is trying to speak to us in creation. He created this place for us. We have this beautiful, wonderful creation. Every place on earth, whether it's been damaged by human beings or not, is beautiful. Just as every person is beautiful. But when we start to expand our thinking a little bit on this then, when we start to say, you know what, this world, this thing that we're created, it's really sacred, then that changes how we care for it, isn't it? If the world is not sacred and we can do whatever we want, then who cares? Trash it. Doesn't matter. But if God created the world, and God said that it was good, and we see this world as something that is sacred, then there's a calling placed upon us there, isn't it? A calling to effectively manage how we live our lives and the waste that we produce in positive ways. And guess what? None of this is easy. None of this is easy. Everything I'm talking about, it's not just simple. I can't just, I recycled my aluminum cans. Everything's great now. The more you go at this, the deeper it goes. The sacredness you see in the world, it deepens. But the really interesting thing about Genesis, day 6 versus all the other days, God addresses humanity in a way that he doesn't address the world or the animals or anything. He creates the animals. They're wonderful. He creates the light and the all those other things on the. But then he says to each of the created beings, you are created in our image. Then those human beings are then given dominion. They're given dominion over this world. They are now companion creatures with God in a way that dogs and elephants and other animals are not. And they're specifically addressed by God in a way that the other animals and other things are not. God is infusing us as human beings, as his creatures, with his goodness, with his likeness. And that's because before you were born, before you ever did anything in this world, before you took your first breath, before you came to church today, God made a decision about you. He made a decision about each of us. He made a decision about all of humanity in his world. Long before we ever had a chance to rebel back, God says, I love you. You are worth going to the cross for. No matter what you do in the past or no matter what you do in the future, my son has come and lived among you and wants to offer you new life, new salvation, new perspective. Call it being born again. Call it new life. Call it what you will. Something that changes our perspective, that opens our heart. And he did that before we could ever say, nah, no thanks, I don't need that. He did that long before we ever said that really mean thing to someone that we wish we would have taken back. He did that long before we were born because his love was greater than all of our misdeeds. His love is greater than our sin. His love is greater than the sin of our world, the corporate sin we create, the way that we harm other people through our inaction. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, this verse, I told the kids I was going to read it. You might know it from memory, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know this verse, you've heard it before. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything is becoming new. I feel like the Apostle Paul is saying, like, if you read Genesis, he said it there. Can you see it now through my son, Jesus, and how this new creation changes us? How we become this new creation in Christ. Now, I need a volunteer to help me with something, just to hand something out. You don't have to come up. We have a volunteer. Who can help me? Woojay, you get volunteered. Yeah. I want to hand this out to everybody. Katie, maybe you can help him. Is that okay? Thank you. This is your call to ordination right here, helping the pastor. What Woojay and Katie are handing out is, this is a document to go deeper on everything I'm talking about. This comes from the United Methodist Church. It's from their Church and Society. And you can see it says sustainability. It's some practical steps we can take as Christian people to put more of this into practice. So there's some of the things that I've already talked about, like what does the Bible say? Then there's some things about what the United Methodist Church says. What do we believe as a church and as a denomination? On the back side, it says, what do the facts say? And then on the bottom of that, it's, what do you say? And the part of what do you say is, here are some practical action steps you can take today and moving on into the future to help make a more sustainable world for you, for the people beyond you, for your neighbors that you know and the neighbors that you don't know.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Don't forget to visit us online at mankatohilltop.org.